I've been doing some series off of the parables. And this morning we're going to do another one out of Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This is probably a parable that we're a little more familiar with, but I had a reason for doing it, as there were some things I saw that were exceptionally helpful for me, and I know that they would be helpful for you. I titled the lesson, Being Rich Toward God, and it will come to an understanding of why I titled it that, because that's one of the words, some of the wording Jesus used through this parable of being rich toward God. You know, life, we get busy. And when we get busy, it's easily to be distracted. And the distraction comes is that you get caught up in the other things, and then you slowly but surely find yourself, you're not being as rich toward God as you should, or maybe you've fallen completely off of being rich toward God. We have people tell us goals. Well, let me tell you the greatest goal that we need to achieve in life, and that's being rich toward God. Here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is using a parable to explain that our lives are not about possessions. And he wants to show why. Look at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you? I've seen more arguments in families over inheritance over the many years. Inheritance just drives people, and this fellow's no different. And he wants Jesus to tell his brother, divide the inheritance. I want it. And the amazing part about Jesus is that Jesus always knew his purpose and where he stood. He told him in 14, I'm not an arbiter over you. You've got courts, you've got judges. You can go through the due process if you want that. That's not the goal of Jesus. And then Jesus begins making one broad statement. Look at verse 15. Then he said to them, Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Possessions. Things. They can take over your life quickly, and it becomes what you live for. I mean, we look at the great debt that our nation has gotten themselves into, families have gotten themselves into, And if you'll think about it, it's all been about possessions. We go to great lengths for that. And if you start believing your life is about possessions, you're headed down a wrong road quickly, and you are going to set yourself up into a false sense of security. You're going to start living a lie, and you don't want to do that. And so Jesus said, your life has nothing to do, it doesn't consist of your possessions. Now, he uses a parable to drive home the point, verse 15, or 16, excuse me. And he told them a parable saying, The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. Now, stopping right there, that's a practical approach, isn't it? I mean, you've got all of these goods, and your barns can't hold them all. I've got to do something with my goods because they're going to spoil if I leave them out. I'll just build some larger barns. That's a practical, logical approach to the situation. But the problem is he didn't stop there. Look as he continues. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I've reached security. I've got many goods for many years to come. It's time to kick back and take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you know that's what the majority of people in our day and time believe in also? They believe that when you find security for your life and your possessions, and whether or not it's retirement, whatever it may be, they think that when they've reached that, they are secure. You look at people that win the lottery. What do they think? I can stay at home now. I can quit my job. I don't have to mess with these bosses. You know, I can be my own boss. I get to do what I want to do. I can travel where I want to travel. Life is good. Eat, drink, and be merry. You'll look at people that are on these shows that they'll win, you know, $1 million, and they'll ask them, you know, well, what are you going to do with your $1 million? Oh, I'm going to travel. I'm going to go to distant lands. I'm going to do all the things I was unable to do before, and I'm going to buy my new home. I'm going to buy more cars. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you know, they think they've reached the pinnacle. That's their security, is what they possess. He's no different. I've got it for years to come. But look at verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you've prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. When your life gets wrapped up in possessions, you leave God out. You leave God out. And it seems that the more successful people become, the more they're driven by their possessions. The more they want, the more they continue to want. You know, and the reason is that they don't want to lose their security. You see, their security is in their possessions, and they don't want to lose those possessions, so they got to work hard to try to keep what they do have so they can stay secure in what they've worked all of their life for. And Jesus said, you know what God called him? He said there in verse 20, God called him, that's a fool. You work for things, you win things, you think you've achieved it. That's a fool. If your soul is required of you tonight, you tell me what happens then. Life can change quickly, brethren. I mean, it can change in a minute. A heart attack, an aneurysm, a disease. I mean, these things can come out of nowhere. An accident. And I want to tell you, every time something like that happens, people aren't thinking about their possessions. There's no thought of them at that moment. And people are learning the hard way how to have a proper perspective in life. And here's Jesus. Jesus is saying, your life doesn't consist of possessions. Man thinks they got security in possessions. Jesus said, you're not rich toward God. You've got some major, major problems. This fellow wanted to be secure. This fellow thought he was secure, but he wasn't rich toward God. His soul was required. Now what? You know, if we were to take the time this morning and we went over into Luke 16, and we're not going to read that. There's another parable. And in Luke 16, Jesus is explaining a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, what did he do? He said he habitually dressed himself in fine things. And he lived in luxury on the earth. Problem was, he forgot about God. He wasn't rich toward God. He dies. Where does he end up? He ends up in Hades, a place of torment, a place of horror, a place of burning fire. Now what? And Jesus is explaining that parable in Luke 16, 14 to a group of religious leaders, the Pharisees, because they were lovers of money and they were scoffing at the teachings of Jesus. And it concerns me too. Maybe we're doing the same thing. Maybe we're scoffing at the things of Jesus, not thinking being rich toward God is the most important thing on earth. Because I can go for the security I think in my possessions, and I think I've got many goods for many years to come until tonight. And now my soul's required. And then what? Well, to help us get a little bit better understanding, I want you to come back to Ecclesiastes with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Right after the book of Proverbs comes this book of Ecclesiastes. If you turn over to Isaiah, you need to back up just a little bit. Ecclesiastes is before Isaiah. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want to preface it by this. You're not buying eternity. You cannot buy yourself into a position with God. Solomon is the wisest man to ever live, and he was the richest man. And Solomon went out and he began to explore what he has been seeing among man. And he comes to some conclusions. And as he goes through life and he looks at all of these different venues of life, he sees man's plight and what God wants. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 10. He said, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity." Huh. People without money, you know what they believe? They believe if they had money, they'd be on top of the world. If only I had a little more. Solomon said those who have money aren't satisfied by it. Those who have, you know, love and abundance with its income, no, you're not satisfied with that. It's all vanity. You know why? Because there's always this wanting more. I mean, I've got an old clunker car. It's getting me around. It's fulfilling the needs. But you know what? I want a nicer car. I want a bigger house. Oh, I've got a small little, I'd like to have a bigger house. I mean, there is no satisfaction. And people, he says, the people that love money, he said, they're never satisfied with what they've got. They're never satisfied with the abundance they can buy. It's always about more, it's about more, it's about more. And there becomes this cycle that man gets into. And people fall prey to it. It's a vicious cycle. Take, for instance, take our athletes. Look in America, what the athletes make. They make millions of millions of millions of dollars every year. And then you know what we find out? How many of them are broke when they get to be in their 40s? They're absolutely made millions of, what's happened to it? Well, they've got this big mansions and they've got their airplanes there, but then they've been so foolish in their lives and they think that their life were in their security and their possessions and they're broke. It's all vanity. There is money doesn't satisfy. That's proof of it. Look at verse 11. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? Bottom line, let me rephrase it. The more money you have, the more money you will spend. That's what he's saying in verse 11. It increases, goods increase, those who consume them will increase. The more you have, the more you'll spend. Today you're making $30,000 a year. Spend it all, live all the way to the end of it. All of a sudden we get a raise, we're making $50,000 a year. Here's the cycle. You will spend $50,000. That's the way man works. And that's the way man thinks that things are secure. But that's not here. Look at verse 12. The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. There's you a blessing of not having too much and not having a lot. I mean, you think about it. He talks about the sleep of a working man. It's pleasant. Yeah, they can lay down and rest tonight. You know what about the man that is rich and his stomach's full, he's got all of these possessions and all of these goods? He doesn't sleep very well. You know why? He's worried about tomorrow. What's the stock market going to do? Is it going to crash? Am I going to lose all of my... Yeah, there's not... Is someone going to break in and steal my stuff? Am I going to have someone scam me and get my stuff? See, the wealthier you are, the more worries you have. And Solomon says, hey, just sleep of a working man's pleasant. He knows that. But let's keep going. Look at verse 13. There is a grievous evil which I've seen under the sun. Riches being hoarded by their owner to his hurt. Oh, a grievous evil? Oh, absolutely. Why? Riches being hoarded. And it's a grief to the owner. You know why? Got a lot of fears. The security is their possessions. And the grief they feel is I'm going to lose those. And I don't want to lose those because that's where I've put my security for many years to come. Solomon says, hey, it's a grievous evil. Just look at it. It's hurtful. Verse 14. When those riches are lost through a bad investment and he fathered a son, then there is nothing to support him. Yeah, here's the agony. All of a sudden you got the riches and now you make a bad investment. You make a reckless choice and you lose your money and now you have a child and a child comes along and because of your recklessness, because you're putting everything into things and possessions, and now guess what? Your child suffers because of your recklessness, because of your trying to hoard everything. And that hurts the child. You know, you and I have got to be careful. Because the absence of God brings a lot of reckless decisions if we're not careful. And those decisions affect my family directly. And he knows that. Look at verse 15. As he had come naked from his mother's womb, so will he return as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can carry in his hand. How did we arrive? With possessions? No. I don't know any babies born with a diamond in their mouth. You're going the same way you came. I mean, we've read the stories where a rich person will die, you know, the pink Cadillac, and they bury them in the Cadillac in the coffin, this big place in the ground, or people are buried with their riches, and they'll put the watches on them, or all the things in the casket in there, you know. And you know what? Those things are going to rot in the ground because you're taking nothing with you from the labor of your hands. You're taking nothing with you that you work for in this life. The only thing you're taking with you is a soul, and whether or not that soul has been rich toward God. That's it. There is nothing else. And so the way we came is the way we're going to leave. Verse 16. This also is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, thus he will die. So what is the advantage to him who toils for the wind? Did you get the last statement? Toiling for the wind. All you're doing is working for the wind. When you work for possessions, you work for things, you work for money, you want to be secure in life, you want to have everything. Our young people need to be taught it, that money is not the issue in life. And he's going to show us what the issue is. We know being rich toward God, but we're going to see God's blessing in that. I mean, you and I, it's toiling for the wind. It's grabbing at nothing whenever you and I, we think that we're leaving with what we work for. Well, you're leaving it. You're leaving it behind. And generally, it's probably going to go to your children. And if you get a large inheritance to your children of something you've labored for all of your life, you know what I can tell you? Next week, you're probably going to have a kid driving a new car. You're going to have a kid upgrading a house. And they're going to be doing it all from the labor of your hands. Because you spent your life looking for security. Now here they are as younger, you know. Hey, I've got my life set up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Rest of it. Look, I'm secure. I'm secure from an inheritance. Yeah, but the problem is they're going to leave life too the very same way they came in. And the only issue is being rich toward God. Look at verse 17. Throughout his life, he also eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. You work hard for security. You get to be aged up there. And you eat in darkness. You see the shows, have you seen those shows where this rich family, and they've got this spread in the house, and they got this table, and this table's like 20 feet long. You know, and you got the man sitting on one end and his wife sitting down on the other, and they got the servant coming in, and he comes serves one, comes serves the other, and they sit there and they eat in loneliness. She's down there, you're up here, you got nothing to connect with, and that's living? That's enjoying life? That's what all the abundance have you had, that you live your life in this darkness, in this vexation, in this sickness, in anger, and because of everything going on? I mean, that's living? I don't think that's living. No. Being rich toward God will bring the opposite of this darkness, this sickness, this vexation, you know, with this anger. You remember Galatians 5:22? Fruit of the Spirit. Remember what the first three words he uses of fruit of the Spirit of God is? Love, joy, peace. What do you think the three things everybody's looking for in life? Those three elements. You know where you're going to find them? Only being rich toward God. You're not going to find them anywhere else. Being rich toward God brings love, joy, and peace to your life. And God will provide that. Well, saying that, verses 18 through 20 here, I want you to see God's goal while we work and labor in this life. Look at verse 18. Here's what I've seen to be good and fitting. To eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labors in which he toils under the sun during the few years of life which God has given him. For this is his reward. This is the reward from God. This is good. This is fitting, he says. God gives us the years we have on this earth. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. That's, you know, learning how to enjoy our lives. And I look sometimes in so many, and it's within the church I'm talking about, so many are just miserable in their life and nothing's going right. And you know, he said, this is what's fitting. This is what's good. This is the reward in this life. Is that you learn how to enjoy yourself in your labor that you do. Now, how many want to be happy? How many want to enjoy life? How are you going to do it? By wrapping your life up in your possessions? No, you have to learn. You have to learn how to be content with your lot in life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. You know what Paul says? In any circumstance, I have learned to be content. In fact, he goes on to say in the next verse, I have learned the secret, and it's learning to be content. Contentment with what my lot in life is right now, presently. Stop reaching for all of this stuff. Your life doesn't consist of that. Learning to enjoy what you do have and where your present lot is. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But I'm not content with that. I want other things. I want the greater thing. You know what? Your life's going to become about your possessions then. God said the reward in life, learning to enjoy what you have. That's a major teaching. Look at verse 19. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. The gift of God. God blesses some people with money. There's nothing wrong with that. God does that. You know what God says his gift is to them? I've empowered you to eat from what you've labored for. And that's good. And that's what they need to keep everything in perspective. I want to enjoy what I do have. That is God's gift while we live on this earth till the end of our lives. But that's not all. Look at verse 20. Or he will not often consider the years of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. The gladness of your heart? Yeah, because you're learning how to enjoy. Instead of wanting more, instead of reaching for more, if I only had this, if I only had that, Jesus said, beware, your life is not about your possessions. Your life is about your soul and your soul being rich toward God. And whenever you can learn to enjoy your life where you are and enjoy the things of the fruit of your labor, that's God's gift, that's God's reward. Be content with that. And you know what you find? You're gonna find yourself so occupied with the goodness of God and the things that God's blessed you with, you're so occupied with that, you're not gonna be miserable in life. Misery comes because we want to live beyond us. Misery comes because we always want. We're never content. And you won't forfeit anything at that. You know, learning how to get by with less. You won't believe what I did this week. My wife's out of town. She'll find out when she gets home. I went down the other day. I went in my garage and I started dragging stuff out. I pulled it out on the front of my house, put a sign on it, said free, take it home. It was gone. Every bit of you know what I realized? I don't need all that. I don't even know why I have it all. I'm hoarding it. Why? You know what's the best thing to do in life? Learn to be content. And if you're making $20,000 a year, enjoy $20,000. Enjoy that level. That's God's gift to you. Don't start thinking, boy, if I only made 40, if I only made 60, if I only made 100,000. I live, you know, here I live in a $40,000 home. Boy, if I had a $150,000 home, I'd be much. No, you wouldn't. You'd forfeit your soul to do it. Because, see, life's not about your possessions. Because in the reaching for everything, you're going to stop being rich toward God. You're going to lose your soul. Life, our lives are about eternity. Our lives are about our souls. Security is not in things for many years to come. Security is rich toward God that tonight, if God said your soul is required of you, you can go with graciousness, contentment, and joy. Because you've been rich toward God. Well, you think about it. As you see, you go back and read it. You learn to enjoy what you have and stay within the limits of where you are. You're going to be a much happier person. God's going to see to it.